Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You're listening right here on The Fan. You're streaming with us on YouTube. You're watching us on Monumental Sports Network. Wherever you get the content, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Excited to talk some college football. It's obviously the Commanders bye week. I want to catch up on all things college football. And I think the biggest news in the last few days is Virginia Tech making what to me is a really good hire. Helping us make sense of all of it is Grace Rayner. Grace covers college football for The Athletic. You can give her a follow at GM Rayner, R-A-Y-N-O-R. And Grace joins us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Grace, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are fantastic.
Thank you for the time today. Let's start with what I think is a home run hire for the Hokies in James Franklin. How does it work with Penn State? How fast does he hit the ground running in Blacksburg? And what do you think he can do for that Hokie program that has kind of faded to irrelevance?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a home run hire for Virginia Tech. And I know we say that a lot in college football, right? He'll have his press conference tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll win the press conference. And we have a tendency to get ahead of ourselves in college football. But I really do think that this hire makes a ton of sense. This is a program that has such passion and a rich history, but to your point, has just been struggling for the last 15 years and just can't seem to get over the hump. And you take a guy like James Franklin, who has a ton of recruiting ties to this area. Honestly, Penn State recruited Virginia better than Virginia Tech did these past several years. He's a proven builder. We saw how he took Vanderbilt to 9 wins for the first time since, I think it was like 1915 in his second year there. It just makes a lot of sense. He knows how to win at the highest level. He comes from the Big Ten, so he knows what Virginia Tech is going to need from a resources and infrastructure standpoint. I think Virginia Tech they've got to feel pretty stoked about this hire.
How many years did he get in this deal that hadn't been released yet?
What's that? Oh, his contract details have not been released yet. Okay. We do know that his buyout from Penn State was going to be about $49 million, and I think it's gone down to $9 million with offsetting with the new job. So
wow. That
might give us a little hint into maybe what he's working with at Virginia Tech, but the details, at least as far as I know, I don't think we've seen the details yet.
Okay. So the money Penn State was on the hook for, whatever VTech guarantees, cancels off out of that, I guess?
Yeah, it'll offset. I think it was in his contract that if you get a new job, it will offset part of this buyout that we owe you. And then it went from 49 to 9. So I guess they negotiated that down after he signed the deal with Virginia Tech.
Is that maybe why Penn State wanted to make the firing early so that he could get, I mean, because he's an attractive candidate. Maybe they knew, hey, if we get this guy out there, he'll get snapped up quick.
I think Penn State went into this season thinking this was going to be their year, right? I mean, they've come so close, and the big knock on him is that he hasn't been able to win the big one.
Right.
And this was kind of supposed to be it. And they really invested in their roster, and they got all these guys to come back instead of going to the NFL or the portal. And so when it all fell apart for them in late September, early October, I think they were just as stunned as the rest of us. You know, you see Penn State lose that game to Oregon, and you think, okay, their playoff hopes are not over. This is still a team that can very much compete for a playoff spot. And then the wheels just absolutely fell off with the loss to UCLA and Northwestern in back-to-back weeks. So I think Penn State got to a point where they could no longer, I just think they didn't have enough faith in thinking that he could get over the hump. I mean, we all know his record against top 25 programs, against top 10. It's not good. He's, you know, that's the biggest knock on him, is he can't win the big one. And so I think they just got to the point where they just felt like, if it wasn't going to be this year, when was it going to be? And then it just was no longer tenable once those UCLA and Northwestern losses came in.
Yeah, I think the hype on Aller was far overblown, but whatever. What's done is done. There's so many musical chairs, and we're talking big programs, right? I want to get to Florida, LSU, all of it. But what does Penn State do now?
That's a great question. I think we're all really curious to see who Penn State hires, especially because you're right. This is a super saturated market. I mean, if you're in the market for a college football coach this season, good luck. You know, and I think if you're a team who's thinking about firing your coach, maybe you hold on and reassess it next year, because now you're competing with Florida, with LSU, with Auburn, Arkansas, Oklahoma State's open. I mean, there's just UCLA still hasn't been filled. And so there's just a ton of movement in this carousel. So I'm curious to see where Penn State goes. I would guess that this is a program that, obviously, they're a historic program. They're in the Big Ten. I would think that they could command a sitting head coach already. I'll be curious to see if they go the coordinator route or the NFL route, but certainly they've got the cachet to command a sitting head coach. But yeah, I'm really curious, because whoever does take that Penn State job is walking into a situation where expectations are really clear. I mean, James Franklin was winning double-digit games, and that wasn't enough. And so, and he was in the semifinals a year ago, a couple plays away from a national championship bid. So whoever does take that job is walking into a situation where this school, this program, is really demanding the best now.
Well, Grace, landscape has totally changed in college football. You can go and get the top-notch coaches. You better be willing to pay some players to come with them. Is Penn State set up well enough? Well, I think they are. They just don't like to spend it on the right people when in the NIL situation.
I think if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, you're in great shape. Just looking at the landscape of college football, you want to be in one of those two conferences. But yeah, I mean, you look at Penn State's alumni base, it's one of the biggest in the country, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would think that they would have all the resources they would need, everything they would need to be competitive. We saw them really invest in their roster this offseason. That's why they were able to retain so much of their talent. And so I think the investment is there. The resources are there. They just got to find the right person to see if they can get over the hump with some of these top 10 matchups and see if maybe they can take them to another championship.
Do you think Virginia Tech will spend the money they need to?
That, I think, is a really important question in all of this. Virginia Tech has come out and said that they are going to be investing $229 million into their budget plan over the next 4 years for the athletic department. And they've made it very clear that they want to make Virginia Tech one of the most competitive programs in the ACC. So the investment is there. I think there's been some questions about, well, why did it take this long for them to kind of buck up in that way, considering when the landscape started changing in 2019, 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. But they certainly signaled that they want to be competitive. I think they've got a long way to go in terms of facilities. They don't have their own standalone facility right now. They're still sharing with some other sports. But this is a really passionate, you guys know, I mean, it's a really passionate fan base. And yes, it's a program that wants to give football everything it can, right? Like, it's a starving group of people that so badly want to see the Hokies competitive. And so I think they're willing to back Franklin, give him what he needs to the extent that they can.
So just real quick, one more local before we go down south. Maryland comes out, the AD Jim Smith. I loved how he handled it, just to come out and get in front of it and say, we're keeping locks, we're going to invest. What do you make of the Terps move, and how do they compete in the Big Ten?
Yeah, the Big Ten's tough, right? I mean, it's just a loaded conference, but I think it was, I think this is not the year, if you're kind of on the fence, right? Not the year to fire your coach, because it is so competitive. And so I can see why they say maybe we stick with him for another year. Maybe they don't have to compete with a million other schools to hire a new coach. I think what he's done on the recruiting trail has been really, really impressive. They've got the number two recruit in the country, committed to their class right now. He's a five-star defensive end. I think in your guys' neck of the woods, I think he's from D.C.
He's from Baltimore,
Baltimore, okay. Yep. So Zion's committed to them, and so I think that was a big part of it, too, is you just look at what he's done on the recruiting trail, and this is an impressive group. It's an impressive class, and if you're kind of on the fence and you're not quite sure what you want to do, I think keeping him, trying to keep this roster intact, keep your recruiting class intact, should hopefully help them.
Just as a Terp alum, it's like you got Auburn, LSU, Florida, Penn State, Arkansas is able to throw so much money. Like, this ain't the year to be shopping.
No, it's not.
In my mind.
So as you look at the two schools down there, Florida and LSU, who seems to be leading the way to become a coach of one of those schools?
Yeah, I think it's a good time to be Lane Kiffin, right? he seems to be the biggest candidate. We saw some reporting come out yesterday that Ole Miss is kind of ready for him to make a decision. I think they've given him a little bit of an ultimatum and want to have a decision from him by the Egg Bowl next week. Florida and LSU are courting him and the fam. Without knowing for certain how these administrators are thinking, I would guess if you're an SEC program, Lane Kiffin is probably your top choice, just given what he's done at Ole Miss and the way that he's built that program up and the way he recruits and uses the transfer portal. So I'm curious to see kind of where they go. Obviously, they're two huge jobs, right? They're in the SEC. There's a lot of history, two other schools that can command a pretty decent market. But Lane Kiffin does seem to be in the driver's seat for the carousel as well as where he stands with Ole Miss.
Dude, if I was Lane, isn't there something to – now, I know Oxford's a beautiful town, but I also know it's a small town. Isn't there something to just being the man there, doing something nobody's ever done there, rather than adding the pressure of LSU or Florida? Or is there just that much more money?
You come with a bigger paycheck and you can make a name for yourself there too?
Is there just that much more money if he leaves?
I mean, I think that Ole Miss would, because Lane has done so much at Ole Miss, like, I would be surprised if they didn't match whatever offer he was given elsewhere. Now, he has said in the past, it's actually not so much about how much you're making as a coach, but how much money do you now have for a roster? But Lane has made it very clear he loves Oxford and he's really happy there. His family's moved there. He's gotten a chance to see his kids for the first time in a long time. His son Knox is a high school quarterback in Oxford who's playing really well. His daughter Landry is a student at Ole Miss. His family lives in Oxford now. And so you see, obviously we've seen Lane Kiffin go through so much, right? I mean, this guy has really gone through a lot in his life, but he does seem to be happy, calm. You can just see the difference in his demeanor. So I'm curious if that's enough to keep him there, but you can tell he is really happy there.
Yeah. I remember hearing Nick Saban saying he wasn't leaving Alabama. LSU and
he also wasn't going to leave the Dolphins.
Hey, I was just saying money talk. All these coaches can say what they want. You put a little bit more money, give them a little bit more control. They will leave anywhere.
It does. I think a lot of these coaches want to know, what are we working with from an NIL standpoint and from a standpoint of how much can we invest in our roster? Because that's where college football is right now, right? Yeah. If you don't invest, you can't compete. And that's just the reality of where we are.
So let's just operate from a place. We're talking with Grace Rayner from The Athletic. You can give Grace a follow at GM Rayner. Covers college football for The Athletic. Does a great job. Let's just operate from a place of Lane stays at Ole Miss. Obviously, LSU, Florida are huge jobs. Auburn's a big job. I think Arkansas, between Walmart and the chicken people, the amount of money Arkansas can throw around is pretty significant. Yeah. What is the best job and who becomes the best candidate? Like, is the Vanderbilt dude going to leave? North Texas, the JMU coach? Like, or is it some hot assistant, Brian Hartline at Ohio State? Like, how does it continue to shift if Lane sticks?
Yeah, I think from there they all sort of figure out, all right, we're going to reset, and if Lane stays put, who are we going to next? I think the JMU coach is a hot candidate, Bob Chesney. There's been some buzz for him in UCLA, I believe. Alex Golish at USF has done a good job. To your point, Brian Hartline. Yeah, I think it's an interesting time in the carousel because in some ways, a lot of these coaches are just kind of playing musical jobs, right? There's so many openings, there's also so many sitting head coaches who are now trying to go get a job again. And so I'll be curious to see, do people go the coordinator route or are they going to try to go the sitting head coach route? I mean, Brian Kelly, Billy Napier. These guys are also on the market right now. Do they get big time jobs? Do they have to take a smaller job? So I'm just as fascinated as you guys are. I think Chesney is a really fascinating candidate. I think one of the things that will be super interesting will be whoever takes over these big time jobs, whether they're coming from a group of five or they're coming from a coordinator position, do they have the leverage and the confidence and the knowledge they need to really spar with the administration when they need to about this is what I need, these are the resources that I need. That's where a sitting head coach can really come in handy. They kind of understand how this works and what they need.
Is Billy Napier still a big name? I know he was at UL, he was winning a lot of games. Went to Florida, he never reached what they wanted him to reach. I don't see, do you think another school of Florida's caliber would say, hey, come get a shot over here?
I don't think so. I think if okay. I had to guess, I would guess Napier probably has to take a step back. I think he was at, there were some reports the other day, he was hanging out at Georgia for a little bit. He and Kirby are pals. But yeah, I don't know that I would see Napier becoming another Power 5 head coach. Florida has had just so many struggles, and they had obviously that big win against Texas, and they recruited decently well. But yeah, I would imagine that he's probably going to have to take a little bit of a step back.
Any chance Urban or Saban come back?
I would be very surprised.
On either,
I would. Saban seems to be living his best life on College Game Day. he's got nothing else to prove. He retired right as college football was going through so much of these changes, right? I mean, so much of his job.
B likes to say he ran away.
That's fair.
I mean,
it's different. It's just a completely different job now. And so, so much of it is, and we've seen it with the portal, with conference realignment. So much of it is what conference are you in? How much resources does your donor base have? Do you have the money you need to get the players you want? And so in some ways, the actual coaching is now taking a little bit of a back seat to just being a CEO. And so Saban seems to be living his best life. I love watching him on game day. He's got his national championships. I would be very surprised if he came back. I haven't really heard much about Urban. I guess maybe never say never with anything in college football or anything in sports in general. I mean, I never thought Bill Belichick would be in the ACC this time a year ago. So, you know, we've seen crazier things happen, but I would be surprised to see either of them back in college football.
He ran, Jay. This is the thing. I always have an issue when people have control over everything. They gung-ho. When they lose a little bit of it and they have to do the same things their players have to do, they seem to hightail. That's running. Whether it's Saban
it is
or whoever.
Yeah.
Listen, when that pressure changed, where now the pressure's on him to have to compete with everybody, have the same level playing field, he said, okay, I retire now.
One more that I'm interested in. Any chance Marcus Freeman would leave Notre Dame? I imagine he would be the absolute hottest candidate available.
For who?
I would imagine he would also be a great candidate. I haven't heard anything about Freeman potentially leaving. He's got quite a nice setup at Notre Dame. I mean, they've maintained their independence. They've obviously got every resource in the world. Freeman is an Ohio State grad, so and Ohio State doesn't seem to be opening up anytime soon. So that one would surprise me. They're making a college football playoff push right now. I think he's a really good fit in South Bend. I think that fan base likes him a lot, and he's definitely got a good thing going.
Yeah. What to you is the best open job?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think 2 weeks ago, before the governor of Louisiana got involved, I probably would have said LSU. And then the governor got involved, and the school's administration was kind of a mess, and it definitely raised some red flags about alignment and just kind of what's going on here, and why is the government the governor having a press conference where he's talking about how the athletic director won't be hiring the next football coach.
Well, they fired that guy.
Fired. Yeah. So
he should have never gave. He should have never gave what you call him a 10-year deal off the bat.
So yeah. So I think LSU is a little less attractive than I thought it was a couple weeks ago. So I think I would say Florida. You're in the SEC. You've got the resources, and you're in a really fertile area for recruiting. So I think if I was a sitting head coach, Gainesville is a lovely place to live, and there's no state income tax income tax in Florida. So I think that'd be my pick if I was a sitting head coach.
And then lastly, and we may not have time for this, but what the hell is this Big Ten private equity, Michigan and USC are trying to sue their way out? Like, what is going on with that?
That is a great question that I need to read up on myself, because I saw a couple of headlines about that yesterday. I haven't fully dived into that yet, but that is college football in 2025, right? It's just ever-changing. People are always looking for new avenues and new ways to generate revenue. This is just kind of where we are right now. But, yeah, I myself need to do my homework on that.
What a world. Well, thank you, Grace. For the, you know what's crazy?
USC just got there, right?
Right.
We they already trying to go?
We just did more than 20 minutes talking college football, and we didn't talk a single thing about a game. Like, about a game this weekend. How good is Ohio
State? We're talking about the game before the game.
Right.
Yeah.
The coach is getting their cheddar.
Right now. Yeah. It's that's what I think has made college football so entertaining and, like, must-see. It's just such a spectacle at all times. It is. There's nothing like it. And it's a... It's the most lovable circus in town.
If you're going to compete with the NFL, you got to be as crazy as they are.
Yeah. You think anybody beats Ohio State on the field?
I think it's going to be tough. I'm really curious to see how Indiana and Ohio State would maybe match up. But, yeah, I mean, I think Ohio State this year has been the least talked about number one team in the country that I can remember in a while. They are just an absolute machine that we almost have just kind of focused on other teams elsewhere because they've been that good. So I've got my money on Ohio State. If I'm a better, I'm probably putting my money down on the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it's smart. They got to beat Michigan, though. I mean, that continues to be.
They do have to beat Michigan. Ryan Day cannot lose to Michigan again.
No. Hey, Grace, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks,
we'd love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, thank you all so much for having me. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it.
All right. Grace Rayner, give her a follow at GM Rayner, RAYNOR. Kind enough to join us via the Rude Guest Hotline. We got to talk a little bit more Washington. It's a bye week, but there's plenty to discuss with these Commanders. Nobody go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's B. Mitch here. FanDuel is the number one sportsbook for same-game parlays. From points and rebounds to threes and assists, FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same-game parlay or track every stat live, all in one easy-to-use app. And right now is the perfect time to join, because new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up today. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook with the official sportsbook of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Really good conversation with Grace Rayner from The Athletic. If you missed that, get wherever you get your podcasts, go listen to it. Or you could probably watch it on the YouTube. I'm sure White Brian's working on turning that thing around quick. Grace was sharp, man. She knew her stuff.
She knew her stuff, man.
I enjoyed that. I love
talking sports with women.
College football is also so interesting because the games are going on, right? Like, there's still football being played, but the melodrama around the edges is almost like – more interesting. You know what I mean?
I guess I think I know what you mean, Jay. You know, you can be weird sometimes.
I don't know. I'm pretty damn interested in what happens with some of these programs.
I want to see. Because, like, listen, man. And I want people to understand what I'm saying. I respect the hell out of a Nick Saban, as I respect the hell out of a Joe Gibbs. But when things change up, those coaches don't want to deal with that other issue. But players are expected to deal with the issues all the time. All right? So I just wanted, if you expect me to be at a certain level, I want you to fight through some little stress too. That's all I'm saying.
Not a crazy weekend in college football. You get Tennessee, Florida, Arkansas goes to Texas. How is Texas still top 10?
Because they want Texas to be top 10. They still want to have Arch Manning be up there.
I feel like the truth is out on Arch.
Yeah, but believe me.
Or maybe he needs more time.
He probably needs more time, but still right now, still a lot of chatter about Arch.
I think one game that I'm interested in, which is probably 2 weeks out, is Georgia Tech, Georgia. Georgia Tech can run the hell out of the football, which makes this Saturday's game, Georgia Tech hosting Pitt, kind of an interesting little spot. Look ahead, possibly. But I wanted to get to the B. Mitchell Finley AAA poll question of the day. I believe Lanfill has posted this. And I want to ask you, Brian. Lanfill's question, what was the reason for the Commanders' defensive improvement? DQ calling plays, the Dolphins suck, or both? The AAA poll of the day is brought to you by AAA. Level up with the new AAA Commanders MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, plus exclusive experiences, discounts, and tickets. If you're already a AAA member, upgrade for free or join today at AAA.com/Commanders. Where do you lean on that?
Ask that question one more time.
What was the reason for the Commanders' defensive improvement? DQ calling the plays or the Dolphins? Lanfill wrote suck. I would probably say aren't that good.
I think it's a combination. I think DQ calling.
There is an option for both.
I have talked. There is one.
Lanfill gave DQ calling plays, the Dolphins suck, or both.
I'll go with both, but not, I'd have to go with, I'm going to throw my own thing in there. I'm going to go with a D. Because as I talk with former players, your head coach calling the defense, you're going to pay much closer to
the lock detail. In.
You're going to lock in. You don't want to be that one guy that screws up. So naturally, guys did what guys need to be doing all the time, you know. And I think having him when he switched to call it, it's enough. It's a higher emphasis on you better be correct now. You better be doing your damn job. And you saw guys step up, but then I think about him calling things. You saw the timely London Fletcher was like, London is that's the captain when it comes to defense. London talked about the timeliness of. The corner and the linebacker blitz and the twists and things they were doing. He had them confused. And let's be real, I mean, not that great, but still, they're pros and they can beat you at any time. He had them confused, per se. So I think it's those two things plus players knew, I better pay a little closer attention. And what the hell are they going to complain about? You're overseas, you're in Scotland, only thing you can do is work out and check and talk to your boys.
Right.
So
there's a little part of me, and I don't believe this is who DQ is. I truly don't. But there's a little part of me that wonders. Do you remember back in 2019, Washington was a bad team. They started 0-5, and then Bruce made the call to fire Jay Gruden to bring in Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan was there.
Just move him up, yeah.
But like, that was a strategic time to make that move.
Yeah.
Because they were playing the Dolphins in Miami, and it was Callahan's best shot at a win.
Yeah.
And then it validated Bruce, like, hey, I made this change, and we won, yeah. Right? Because the first five games of the season were really tough.
I'm with that.
Is there any chance Dan waited to get through that gauntlet of Dallas, KC, Seattle, Detroit, to then make the move where he knows it's a lesser program against Miami? Whether that is self-preservation or just to give the defense
I don't think that's a chance in hell that happened. I think the thing that happened was after they had that gauntlet and them four games went on and all of negative narrative was going on.
It wasn't a narrative.
That,
it was reality.
That was a coat. That was a conversation with others that we need to do something.
Had
and I think
something.
They made that decision at that. I don't think Dan was waiting until the better players, the teams left to come in and call. I don't think he cares about that.
Do you think if they had done it, maybe you do it after KC, do you think that would have made a difference against Seattle or Detroit.
I think after KC, we saw an unbelievable half of ball from the defense. I don't think you make it after KC.
About Seattle.
If you made it after Seattle, I could see it happening, but as I had conversation with some of my boys, I don't see much of a change. I don't see much different whether
– I think the only schematic thing was blitzing.
Yeah, the blitzing thing, but that was a schematic I still difference. Think calling the game whoever wouldn't have made a difference in a couple of those games. I just think the other team just was better off. They had more chemistry and better players at the point, and it wouldn't have made a difference who was calling the plays.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think the only thing that stood out to me, a few things. I feel like Miami could have leaned on their run even more, and especially running to the edges, and for whatever reason they didn't, and cool.
A-Chain got banged up a little bit, yeah. I thought earlier.
Well, and then he was hurt at the end.
And then I think they went away from him some. But the other kid came in 31
Ollie
and
Gordon,
was
yeah.
gutting him right up the middle.
Ollie Gordon was 9 for 45.
That is where I think DeRon could have made a difference right there. But I saw on the edge, and so as I was calling the game, I told the dude, his name was Ollie. Ollie.
How was it calling the game with a British
Oliver
dude?
Wilson was his name, but he's from London. He has a British accent.
Did it take you a minute to get used to the accent?
No, the accent was cool, but it just, they said Ollie Wilson. When he said, this is Oliver Wilson, I wasn't expecting Oliver. I just thought his real name was Ollie.
Right.
You know,
right.
When he said Oliver Wilson, I was like, oh, okay, then I got you.
So I listened to him a bit the week before the Berlin game. I was in the car, and I think it was him on the call with another color analyst. I thought he was quite good.
He's good.
It's funny to hear football with a British accent.
He's good. But I said, the first play they ran, got to the edge, they hooked Vaughn, boom, got about 20. They came right back and hit that edge again. Tight end came down, hooked him. They got another first down.
HN's first five carries went for 50 yards.
I said, well, they seem to come into this game with a game plan to hit the edges, and that has been a problem all year.
The only thing... I think the biggest problem in the Seattle and the Detroit games were just the outright, the bad tackling, I think, to a point is like, yo, the head coach, we got to pay attention here, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the tackling was great, especially on A-Chan down the sideline.
Yeah, it got better. It's just like, I think that.
But the Seattle game, the wild coverage bust. You had dudes running 15 yards clean.
It was crazy.
They did a better job defensively, whether it was communication, schematics, whatever. Waddle did not get deep in this thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that you could point to as between the blitzing and Waddle not getting deep. Now, maybe Tua just missed him because Tua is not it.
I'm going to tell you like this here about Tua. I think Dan understood. If you let Tua do stuff in rhythm, he will pick you apart.
Right.
So what they were starting to do, they ran some, like, they'll be on the receivers. They'll get inside. They were backing off. They were doing different little covers. Teases. But every time Tua was able to catch it and just bam, let it go, it was perfect. We couldn't defend it. But I think the pressure was coming when you make him hold it and now he has to start patting it.
He gets nervous.
He's a different guy.
Yeah, dude.
He's totally. A totally different guy. I'll come back to our offense. Early on, Mariota hits Ertz on like a post corner. Robbie Chosen is wide ass open. Down the field. I guess he just never saw him.
Yeah. A lot to kind of take apart from Washington's loss Sunday in Madrid. I want to ask the boys in the aquarium the AAA poll question of the day. Was DQ calling plays the difference? Was it the Miami offense isn't of the same caliber that they'd seen the previous couple weeks? Is there more to it? We're going to ask the boys in the aquarium. Sam Cosmi joins us at noon. Nobody go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Girl, I got high.
La da da. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Why? Sam Cosmi is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Washington's defense had its best performance in a month. Maybe more than that, honestly. Probably since the Charger game. Obviously, there was a big change last week when Dan Quinn said he was going to be calling the defenses and no longer would that be Joe Witt. Joe Witt's still part of the coaching staff, still part of the defensive game planning.
Mm-hmm.
Led Lamphill to ask the B. Mitch Finley AAA poll question of the day. What deserves the credit for the defensive performance, which was better? Not great. I mean, they still gave up almost 200 yards on the ground, but it was better. Is it that Dan Quinn was in charge? Is it that Miami's just not that good? Is it some combination of all those factors? I think you and I believe it was some combination of all those factors, mm-hmm. Brian.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the boys in the aquarium think. Jeffrey, you were at the game Sunday. You were in Madrid. What did you think?
I think it was a combination of everything because if we would have played like better teams, some of those, the way we were letting them get up the field, because it's not like they were just killing us big play after big play. It's just they kept chopping us down. So, and also, they did move better than they have been. So, yeah, I'm going to say it's a combination because I never want to discredit the guys when they have been doing bad and then, you know, they have a good week the next week. I don't want to discredit them by saying Miami was terrible. So, yeah, combination.
Combination for Jeffrey. White Brian, what did you think?
Also think it's a combination, but it's a good start. It definitely looked better with Dan Quinn calling the plays than Joe Witt.
It definitely looked better. I agree with that. What about you, Professor Landini? You usually have strong opinions on these topics.
Honestly, I think most of it was due to the fact that the Dolphins are just not that good a team. You know, the past 4 weeks when the defense got really, really bad, they played some good offenses. The Cowboys are a good offense. The Chiefs, obviously, the Lions. And, I mean, the defense was so bad that they made even Sam Darnold look like he could run a competent offense. But, you know, I kind of think that was a lot of it, unfortunately. I think it was just the fact that the offense they played is just not all that good. And that's the reason for the improvement. I'd love to be wrong, though. I'd love, you know, to be like they actually figured something out here and they can actually stop people now. That would be great.
Yeah, I think that stretch of the schedule was so difficult. The one thing, I interacted with a ton of Commanders fans over the last week in Spain because there were a lot of them there. And credit mm-hmm. to those people, as B said, they're spending their own money to be there, right?
Yeah.
A lot of fans, I think, want to discount the injuries, but the injuries are just so significant.
It's huge.
You can't discount it. And I think that's an important part of the conversation.
See, the thing when people say we're not going to make excuses, and then you say, well, the injuries, fans see it as an excuse, but it's a fact. If you don't have the top players that started the season playing, you know, you're going to lose something. And when other teams have their guys against your seconds and your thirds, you're not going to be the same level of team. But I still think it's a lot of people, and I interacted with a lot of people too, all the way coming back home, landing in D.C. last night. People still are looking at this team like what they thought based off of the end of last year, not what they've seen this year.
Right.
You know, and you got to be truthful with yourself. At a point, you got to say, okay, it ain't the same. Things have worked differently. We're not getting the breaks and the bounces like we did last year. You know, the injuries popped up this year, didn't pop up last year. One thing I know about pro football, if you have a lot of injuries in one year, you probably won't the next. And if you don't have a lot, you got to be careful on that next one because they're coming. Eventually, you're going to have injuries in football.
The injuries are significant. I mean, I also think Joe Witt at some point just wasn't changing anything. And we talked about it repeatedly on this show. And I think DQ didn't change a lot. But he did make a few subtle changes that I think, I mean, just that corner blitz where Jonathan Jones got home early in the game, just throw something different at Tua, a guy that has struggled in the past, right? Like, I think it was good to see some changes. I think you do have to look at Miami and what hasn't been a great offense. I mean, you just look at the numbers for the Dolphins. They're bottom. They going into that game, they were bottom five in most major offensive categories. You know, they were going into that game, I want to say 25th in points scored and 24th in yards gained. Moved up a little since they've gotten the win. The biggest question is, like, how did we get here? You know what I mean? And I don't think there's a silver bullet. Like, I don't think there's any one singular answer.
It's not one answer, but we got here because we, first thing, we adjusted our plan from building to, oh, we went for it. And I don't think we really addressed last year of knowing that we won a lot of close games. And if you had just won half of them and lost half of them, then things would have been differently. A lot of balls bounced our way. We were healthy. We were lucky on the injury port. This year comes around, those balls aren't bouncing. We're not winning those close games. Here, we're not in close games. And injuries came up major. Everything that's there is obvious, you know. The whole thing about, and then let's look at it. Joe Witt is not the only person that puts in the defense. It's a multitude of people.
Sure.
So those things could have been adjusted, changed, and discussed before this week.
Right. Like DQ could have his boss.
So what I'm saying is, it's like, listen, man, there is an element of allowing people to go out and do their job and try to figure things out, because in the long run, you're going to need that person to be able to handle that without you always putting your finger into it.
Commanders guard Sam Cosmi will join the program next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.